Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. You're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with a maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the people who joins us on the show to help us do this is our good friend Russ Brown. And let me tell you just a little bit about him. Russ, as many of you know, have been listening to the show for a while. You know Russ. You know what a great resource he is. Russ is a professional business broker. And he's the president of RDS and Associates Incorporated and also the president of his publishing company called The Business Book Press. He is a member of our Brain Trust and has been for a long time one of the founding members of our Brain Trust. He is the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale, which is one book, and another book which I also have in my hand, which is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I'm very happy to be back.
It's good to have you back. And folks, we've been talking about valuing businesses for the last few weeks, the last few visits you've had with us. We've gone through the different types of valuation methods, but basically most of them, if not all of them, have to have one thing done before you really can buy a business and or sell a business, and that is take a look at the financial statements and probably reconstruct them, as you say, or recast them, as I often say, recast the financial statements for the new purchaser.
That's right, because most small businesses are operated to maximize the benefit to the business owner and minimize the tax exposure to Uncle Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing wrong with that. That's the way it's done. Tax avoidance is perfectly legitimate. Tax evasion, of course, is illegal.
Right.
So many small business owners have found many, many, many creative ways of avoiding taxes and pushing them off into the future in some cases, or just avoiding them altogether. But that translates to actual benefits to the business owner. And if you're a business buyer, you need to find what those benefits are, because that's part of what makes up the value of a business.
Now that
if you're a business seller, you also need to list that out. You need to extract that out and show that to a potential buyer, because they may not know how to look at this, and you need to show them what the real value is to them in your business.
The operating of that business, as you just described, for the benefit to avoid taxes and it's not just tax avoidance that creates this sort of unique way of operating a business that this particular business owner, this seller, has been operating the business. There are other things that seller might have done, other methods or other characteristics of that business that business might have that would be something that would be desirable for the owner, but not for the new person, the buyer. And the thing that made that attractive and desirable for the owner, the current owner, Russ, would also make it not desirable when that person got ready to sell.
That's right. It cuts both ways.
Yes.
So when I do a reconstruction of the income and expense sheet for business, there's always items I add to the expenses and items I subtract. But in general, if it's a good profitable small business, you end up subtracting more from the expense item, which in other words, building up the bottom line profit more than you do the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, in any situation, you've got to understand, you know, buyers have an interest in purchasing the business at the lowest possible price. Sellers want the highest price. And so buyers tend to not put as much value on some of these points as sellers would, and sellers tend to overvalue these points more than the buyers will. So that's just a natural occurrence. And so my books try to help both the buyer and seller come to grips with all of these different ways of finding out what the real value or the real bottom line is in that business.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, something, Jim, I think that even if you're not considering selling your business, you know, for all your listeners or business owners, even if you're not considering selling your business now or any time in the future, you know, it's a good exercise to sit down every now and then, every couple of years, and really look at what am I really getting of value for my company? What is really benefiting me?
Mm-hmm.
So you go through the same process you would as reconstructing the income and expense sheet as if you were going to sell your business, but you do it for your own benefit. Because sometimes you forget all of this value, all of these benefits you're getting out of your company that don't show up on the bottom line, in the profit bottom line of your company. But if they did, it would really open your eyes and surprise you to how much money your business can really make.
Right, but unless it is able to be identified on that financial statement, on that operating statement, then you're going to have a hard time getting a purchaser to give you value for that.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know how many times I've either tried to buy a business or I've helped someone try to buy a business, and the seller kept talking about these off financial statement at benefits that they were getting, and whether you believe them or not, you can't buy a business based on that.
Well, those are some of the things that, some of those things you're talking about that fall into that, they go out of the gray area into the black area, basically.
Yeah.
We don't deal with that. Any reputable business valuation professional will not deal with any off-books income or anything of that nature. That's illegal.
Exactly.
But there are a lot of things that fall in the gray area that we certainly have to deal with. Let's talk about, you know, just for an example so people know what we're talking about here, let's talk about life insurance on the owner of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently, life insurance on the owners of the business is a legal business deduction. So let's take an example of a business I just recently valued. It was two partners. It was a corporation, but there were two partners. They both owned 50% stock. And they each had a life insurance policy on the other that if one passed away, then life insurance policy would pay off enough money to buy out the other partner. This is a very expensive life insurance policy, and a new owner coming in, let's say they're not going to come into the partnership, may not need that life insurance policy.
Right.
The cost of that can go right to the bottom line of that business.
And create an additional value for the sellers.
Exactly.
Yeah, stand by, Russ. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. We're going to continue our discussion with Russ Brown on how to reconstruct a financial statement so that you can sell your business. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question or a comment, if you'd like to agree or disagree with me and our special guest and our good friend Russ Brown, just give us a call, 888-822-8255. And I'll remind you that my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just remember the name of the show, normal stuff on the front and the back, and that's where you can go to hear the show if you can't hear it on the radio, or if you miss the show when it's live. You can go to my website and hear the show live on the internet, or you can hear it rebroadcast on demand whenever you want it, this show, until it's replaced with tomorrow's show. It's the way it works, and it works very well. So check that out. Russ Brown, we're talking about reconstructing an operating statement, an income statement, a P&L, whatever you want to call it. It has a lot of different names. This is so that you can determine what the business can be worth to someone else who is going to be buying that business from you, someone who is not currently operating it. You know, owners of businesses sort of settle into a business the way they run it, the way they manage the money and everything. It's sort of like, it becomes like an old pair of shoes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Yes,
and it sort of suits you. You know, maybe it's not the new pair, the shiny pair of shoes, but you've just kind of gotten it broken in, and it just sort of suits you. But in order for those shoes to be, you know, to be useful for someone else, we've got to kind of shine them up a little bit, and we've got to put a new sole on it and make sure that they're functional for the new owners. And that's the way a business is. And That might not be the best analogy because we usually don't hand our shoes around, but it still, it makes me think of that because we sort of settle into our way of operating, and maybe it's good for us at the time, but as you said, after a couple of years, we may be operating it in a way that might not be to our disadvantage. And so I agree with you. I think we should be doing this exercise of recasting our own financial statement even when we're not thinking about selling our business. For one thing, you sure don't want to go 5 or 10 years without doing it, because then you may have lapsed into some really bad business practices that may take a while to correct, for a seller to correct. I mean, for a purchaser to correct.
That's correct. And let's get, just to finish up on that key man life insurance that we were talking about, I mean, in the example I gave you, it was a perfectly logical business expense for that company to have with the two equal business owners. Now, as the buyer came in, the buyer doesn't need that. It was going to be a corporate buyout, and even if it was a single party buying them out, they wouldn't need that insurance for a partner to buy them out in the event of their of one passing on. So all of that money that was being paid, and I think in this case was like a $15,000 a year premium for the policy. Both gentlemen were in their 60s. So
$15,000 total per year.
Yeah, per year. Yeah. So as you get older, and it was a fairly sizable payout for that amount, for that kind of a premium. But they needed it. It was a good-sized business. But the point is that money can go, is really would have been profit to the company had they not chosen to have Keyman Life Insurance. It has nothing to do with running the business or how the business operates.
That's right.
It only has to do with the business relationship of these two individuals. So a buyer coming in can realize that money into their pocket.
And that's
this money, any dollar, for every dollar you can find that would go to the bottom line, that's super money. I call that super money.
Yep.
Because where else could you get a return at eight, around 4 to 6 to 7, sometimes 8 times each for each dollar you find?
Mm-hmm.
4 to 6, 7, 8 times that dollar will come back to you at the sale of the business.
Well, let's just dramatize that $15,000 there, Russ. If you, using the capitalization rate, the capitalization method of valuing that business, what would that $15,000 on the bottom line be worth in increased value for that business?
Well, let's say you sell your business for 8 times earnings.
Yep.
Then if the only expense that you recapture onto the bottom line is this life insurance of $15,000, the value of your business just went up $120,000.
Yeah, just by that one thing. And there are many other examples that we're going to talk about when we come back, after we come back after these messages. There are many other examples of how you can drop money to the bottom line. And you might not need it for your operating of the business, but to sell your business, you need to be paying attention to this. Stand by, Russ, folks. It's 29 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our guest, and we're talking about how to recast your financial statements, how to reconstruct them, as he calls it in his book, in Chapter 2 of his book, which is called Preparing Your Business for Sale. We're talking about reconstructing the income statement or the expense statement or the operating statement or the P&L or whatever you call it. And we are assuming that you actually have one. You know, Russ, that's the sad part. There are a lot of small businesses out there that don't even have financial statements.
Well, they do if they file an IRS tax return.
Well, yeah, but see, I don't even give them credit for that if they just do it once a year. I don't even call it that. So, folks, if you don't have one, you need to get one. But that's another subject.
Right.
Russ, that was a great example on the income tax. I mean, on the insurance example, the key man insurance example, where the purchaser was able to recast that financial statement and basically eliminate $15,000 of expense and drop $15,000 to the bottom line. And one of the very important points, Russ, on recasting the financial statement is who does it. If the seller does it, then the seller gets to identify that and demonstrate what he or she thinks the business is worth.
Exactly.
But if the seller doesn't know that, if the seller's not savvy enough and doesn't have any help to know that this can be done, that the reconstructing can be done, then the buyer comes in, looks at the statement, which I have done many times. I know you have too. When I'm representing the buyer, and come in and recast the financial statement ourselves, I'm not obligated to tell the seller what we've done with the financial statement.
Oh, that's exactly right. And there are so many business sellers out there that don't hire, small business owners who don't hire someone like myself, of someone who knows how to value a business. They don't hire them because they don't want to spend the $1,500 or whatever it might be to do a valuation of their company.
Yeah.
And I just showed you, I've seen it over and over again. I've seen deals done where this kind of an expense was not dropped to the bottom line, and so they saved themselves $1,500 on their valuation and cost them $120,000 on the sale of their business.
Well, there's
over and over again, people are penny wise and pound foolish.
There are really two things to think about. One thing is things that both parties can use that is obvious that to anyone when you're recasting the statement, Russ, for a seller. There are things that you would identify and you would say, okay, any purchaser would want this reconstructed. But then there are some things that the seller can't know, won't know, that the buyer is going to want to, the way the buyer is going to want to reconstruct that financial statement, because there are things that are particular to that buyer, right?
Now that's exactly right. And so sometimes things will go up. Some of the expenses will go up, and an honest evaluation will have to take those into consideration. But let's talk about a couple other examples that people are going to be very familiar with. There are many, many, many small businesses that legitimately take auto expenses on the part of the seller or the principals in the business as legitimate deductions, expenses for the company. Because they have to travel to see the client, they have to deliver material, they have to make sales calls, whatever the reason is. These are legitimate business expenses. But guess what? I see dozens of companies in a course of a year where the cars they drive are Mercedes, Jaguars, BMWs, all very expensive cars that the company is fully paying for. That same job, in most cases, that same expense can be cut way back. You can get a Subaru or a Chevy Luminar.
What kind of car do you drive, Russ? But and remember, only you can't. If I'm not mistaken, you are limited in how much you can actually deduct of those expensive cars, aren't you? Now, and at $15,000,
there is a limit. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still far above the amount that you may need to expend. If you can get the cost of that vehicle, say, from $10,000 a year down to, say, even $5,000 a year, the $5,000, let's take our super money valuation example, 8 times $5,000 is $40,000 goes to the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So for the year just before you sell your business, instead of driving your Mercedes, you drive your Chevy Lumina, and you get $40,000 extra bucks.
Right.
Is that worth it for the year before you sell your business? Or is it worth it to put that on, at least to bring it to the bottom line and tell the buyer, well, you don't need to have an expensive car.
Right.
I do it because I can, and I'm going to pay taxes. And the reason the seller or the business owner does it, they're going to pay taxes on that money if they don't spend it. So in reality, the extra cost only is basically 60 cents on a dollar to them.
And this is another example. This is another example of where how you operate the business the way you look at how you operate the business is different from the way you look at the business that you may contemplate selling.
Sure. Another example is travel and entertainment expenses. Let's just take the travel part of that. I mean, there are very many businesses that belong to national associations like the Retail Associations of America. If you're a retailer, a wholesaler, etc., we'll get into that when we come back from this break.
Yeah, we got some more examples that we'll talk about when we come back, folks, after these messages. It's 39 after the hour, 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Welcome back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And Russ, you haven't given your website out yet. We need to do that.
Okay, it's businessbookpress.com.
What would they find when they get there?
Well, they're going to find all the books that I've written, and I've got quite a few other books by other authors that I've carefully selected who really know what they're doing in the field of business buying, selling, valuing, and improving. And so they can click on those. We've got electronic downloadable books. We've got special free features like articles and Ask the Expert features.
Yep.
So there's lots of value to be found at that website. So give it a try.
All right. And Russ, we're talking about how to recast a financial statement. And Russ, that's the way I say it. I know in your book you say reconstruct the expenses and the income, and that's I guess that's the correct way to say it. The vernacular is recasting the financial statement. So I like to bring out the different ways people say it around the country, so that if you hear it one way, you'll know what that means. And so if you hear someone say recasting the financial statement, that's something you often hear accountants say, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
When you get accountants working, when you're working with an accountant, let's talk about some of the other things that you can see that they sort of, if you know what you're looking for, they sort of jump off the page at you, off the operating statement at you, to know that this is something that needs to be dealt with to make sure. Now, this is whether if you're selling the business, you're trying to find the things that maybe you've lapsed into, a little operating characteristic that you have lapsed into as you operate the company, that is good for you while you're operating the company, but it's not good for you while you're selling the business. And or if you're buying the business, you're looking for opportunity. You're looking for opportunity that maybe the seller hasn't found in that operating statement. Right, Russ?
That's exactly right. So if you take it, so there's always two points of view on this. So let's take an example again from the seller's point of view. Many sellers, if they own the real estate, they're always advised, if they have a good accountant, to own the real estate outside of the company. So if they're a corporation, they own the real estate in their name generally.
In almost every case, I know of a couple of examples where I didn't recommend that, but in almost every case, I recommend that you own the real estate yourself personally outside of the business.
That's right. And you can, within limits, again, there are limits to almost everything in life, but within a broad range of limits, you can choose what the fair market value for the rent will be of that real estate and charge your company accordingly. So as your company grows in profitability, you may want to be able to get some of the value out of the company without being subject to double taxation if you're a C corporation.
Yeah.
And so you raise the rent of the real estate up to fairly high levels, very, very high levels relative to what it might actually pull on the open market.
There is an envelope of rent ranges that are in your marketplace. And in other words, rent for a building may go anywhere from $8 a square foot to $20 a square foot for businesses, for buildings like the one that you're in, depending on where it's located and what kind of condition it's in. So you can always, if you are in a $10 a square foot building, but you own it, you can probably push that envelope a little bit, you know, up toward the $20 a square foot range for yourself, for the company that you own to pay you for rent. You can get away with that. And really, Russ, the only restriction there is the IRS.
Well, the IRS says it has to be a fair and reasonable amount.
Right.
And that's true. But fair and reasonable, as you point out very accurately, is generally a very broad range in almost any real estate market that you're in. So if your company isn't as very profitable, if you're struggling early on, or you have some bad years or whatever, you can lower the rent that you pay to yourself. If you're having a very good year and you want to shelter that income from the double taxation issues that would occur in a C corporation, you raise the rent. But keep it near. But let's put that aside for the moment. Think in terms of the value. If you own the real estate, let's go back to the super money value of the company.
Mm-hmm.
If you own the real estate and you're getting, say, $20,000 a year, let's just use this as an example, $20,000 a year for rent for that property, and you have a buyer, and one of the problems is the buyer is you want the buyer to maximize the amount they're going to pay for the business, but also give them an opportunity to make money, to lower their expenses in the early years, you can choose to rent the real estate to the buyer, not sell it to him, rent it to him, say for $10,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That difference between $20,000 and $10,000 will go right to the bottom line on the reconstructed or recast earnings and add that $10,000 there. And again, back to our super money value, super money valuation of the business, I mean, at 8x earnings, there's $80,000 more
right.
value in your company. So even though you may take $10,000 less a year for the first 3 years and then have it move up to back up to the rent level that you were at, you have sold you have added an additional $80,000 to the sale price of your business. So that's another example. To finish off on that travel expense item, that's frequently used by business owners to travel, take vacation. And there's nothing wrong with taking a vacation while you're visiting these necessary trade conventions that you're a member of as part of your industry. And frequently, not only is the owner of the business, he's not the only corporate officer in the business, frequently the spouse is also a corporate member.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can travel at the expense of the company. Many businesses I see that have expenses in the range of $10,000 and plus per year, well, they travel to Las Vegas and Hawaii and things like that for these trade association meetings.
Stand by, Russ. The key to all this is you need, if you're selling the business, you need to be the one to drop this money to the bottom line, not the purchaser. Stand by. We'll be right back. It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We are back. It's 54 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Russ Brown is our special guest and our good friend. He is the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, and also this other book that we've been working with today called Preparing Your Business for Sale. Both of these are available at bookstores. They're available online. They're available, as you said earlier, Russ, they're available at your website, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and I give the best price. I undercut even Amazon.com.
Tell us the website again.
www.businessbookpress.com.
Right. And the name, the author's name, ladies and gentlemen, is Russell L. Brown. We've been talking with Russ, folks, about how to recast, reconstruct, whatever word you want to use, the operating statement, the P&L, the income statement. People, you give, there are three or four different names that people use. And the whole thing is to identify the things on the statement that are particular to the seller but might not be necessary to have on the operating statement by the buyer, to make sure that you drop as much value, as much income to the bottom line of your operating statement as you possibly can, and for you, the seller, to be the one to drop that value to the bottom line. Right, Russ?
Yes, because remember, buyers want to buy low, sellers want to sell high.
Yep.
So you need to be the one that gets it there before the buyer comes in to look at the business, so that you tell the buyer, this is the cash flow that can be experienced by this business. I can back it up. I can prove it. And here's how. Here's the paperwork. Here's the valuation that I've gone through that shows how this can happen. Because that bottom line financial statement, the recast, will not be anywhere. It's not in your profit and loss statement. It's not in your IRS tax return, certainly. So it has to, it's a separate document that's part of the valuation of the business.
And that purchaser coming in will have their own, his or her own things that they will want to add. Even if you do a really good job, let's say you hired Russ to completely recast your financial statement and come up with a value, that person coming in to buy your business will have their own expenses that they will want to add back, and others that they will want to take away. Maybe there was no way for you to know how they would be operating the business, what synergies they may be bringing to this new business.
That's right. But they're certainly not going to tell you
That's right.
what expenses they can eliminate or
right.
Drop down.
Or income they can add.
But what they'll do is they'll tell you how their expenses are going to go up. For one quick example is that the owner's wage. I mean, every mm-hmm. owner of a business pays themselves a salary. And what the buyer will say is, well, you're paying yourself $50,000 a year. That's not enough. I need to pay myself $75,000 a
mm-hmm.
year to do to run a business of this size, this nature.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be $25,000 to $50,000, whatever. But they're going to come in and they're going to say, I want to pay myself more money. Well, that takes money off the bottom line and operates the opposite way that we were just talking about.
And if you haven't done everything you can do to drive the bottom line up, then you'll be at a disadvantage at that point, won't you?
We certainly will be, and it's very hard to get that number up once it's been established. If you've got a number in mind, it's very hard to get that number up.
It's not impossible, and it depends on how you negotiate the deal, but it is difficult, as you say, Russ.
Right. You've got to. It's always in the buyer's favor at that point to bring the number down, for you to try to bring it up. It's just like when you ask a value for something. If you advertise a commodity of a car, a used car for sale,
yep.
And you're asking $5,000 for it, it's very hard to then say, well, I advertise at $5,000, but I really want $6,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that
Russ,
doesn't work that way.
That's got to be the last word. As always, you did a great job. We'll see you next time.
Okay, Jim. Thank you very much, Russ.
Good job. Russ Brown, ladies and gentlemen. Got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.